T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler Dodge Jeep dealer, ShorkyNorthHills.com. Ray Fittipaldo was in New Jersey for Steelers Giants last night. He watched Benny Snell break the century mark for the first time. 19 carries, 113 yards in relief of an injured James Conner. Conner just 9 yards on 6 carries, but Mike Tomlin sounding a little optimistic that Conner could play on Sunday. And if he does, Ray, what do you think they will do as far as the division of labor, as Tomlin likes to put it, at running back if Conner and Snell are both available for this game against the Broncos?
Well, I think in the event, Andrew, that James Conner is able to play, I think it could be a convenient excuse that, you know, he's a little bit hobbled and, you know, maybe that, you know, they would divvy up the carries on a more even basis. I'm of the opinion that Benny Snell has earned more playing time no matter what, you know, whether Conner is injured or not. I think he proved that last night. We talked all offseason about his conditioning and him adding some quicks to his game, and I think you saw evidence of that on that 30-yard run late in the game. He bounced outside of Jabril Peppers, picked up an extra 15 or 20 yards, and those are the types of things that number one running backs do. And that's exactly what you didn't see out of James Conner early in that game.
Ray, how do you square what Tomlin said about Conner last week? Bell cow and everything else. Kevin Colbert said he's a Pro Bowl caliber back because he's been to one. I'm not even going to say what we all think about the Pro Bowl anymore in terms of what that means for a player. But how do you square those public evaluations and sort of backings of the player with what we saw from both these guys? To me, it just looked like Snell was the obviously better football player when they were both quote-unquote healthy.
Yeah, I think you can read between the lines, Chris. When Mike Tomlin was asked about Snell today, he basically said like a one-word answer he's starter capable. I mean, that's basically what he said in so many words. So, you know, I think sometimes, guys, this stuff happens naturally over the course of time. I don't think you're going to see Benny Snell come out and be labeled the starter right away, but it might be something that, you know, we see that it happens gradually, like maybe over a 5 or 6 week period. Maybe they are getting even carries, and maybe it is becoming a backfield by committee thing. And, you know, unfortunately for James, he never really had a chance to prove that he could be that guy again. He gets injured in the first, I don't know, 10 or 15 plays of that game. And that's always the case with him. So, like I said, no matter what, I think Benny Snell is going to have a bigger role this Sunday against the Broncos. And, that's what happens in the NFL. You know, you prove your worth when someone else gets injured. And unfortunately, that guy has to bump you back out. And I think Connor's in that position right now.
Ray, from you were there, you had a bird's eye view. From what you saw from Conner before the injury happened, what do you look at as the number one reason why the run game didn't work with him in the game? Was it him? Was it something else? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I think they were a little bit conservative in their approach calling that game early. I think Tomlin talked about it after the game. They didn't quite have a beat on what, you know, Joe Judge and his defensive coordinator were going to do. I think he talked about, you know, getting Ben into that game early, and I think that was a little bit of a struggle. So I don't think it's all on James. You know, it didn't look pretty. You know, you look at the Benny Snell stats and you look at Connor's stats, and, you know, you can draw the conclusion that, you know, Benny was much, much better, and he was, but I don't think it had everything to do with their running. I think there was a lot going on early in that game. And I think Randy opened up the playbook later in that game, and they got a lead, and they were able to take advantage of Snell there as the hammer in the second half. So undoubtedly, Benny Snell had the better game, but I think there were a lot of factors that were working against Connor early in that game as well.
Ray, do they view Benny Snell in a perfect world as a, you know, quote unquote complete back? Like, we know they trusted Connor to catch passes, even though he had a couple early drops in that game yesterday too. But do they view Benny Snell as somebody whose pass catching and pass blocking skills can make him a true three down guy?
Well, he showed me something in his pass pro yesterday. There was a play, I forget exactly when it was. I want to say the third quarter, when he stepped up, picked up a blitz, and Ben was able to complete a big pass. And that's something that, you know, you worry about with young players. And, you know, Benny struggled with that last year a little bit. And, that showed me something yesterday. I don't think Benny Snell is ever going to be the pass receiver out of the backfield that James Conner is. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't necessarily have to be that anyway. He could be his own runner. I think you saw that yesterday. They could take advantage of his skills in different ways. So I was very impressed with his game. I want to see more out of him, and I definitely think we will on Sunday when the Broncos come to town.
Ray, it was a weird watch last night. And, you know, it was not something that I really was prepared for, because we've watched so many games since sports have come back without fans. But it just seemed, this is just me talking, on TV, like they did not pump up the crowd noise for Steelers-Giants the way that they have for other NFL games I've watched in the early goings, or even other baseball games and games in bubbles that I've watched. So I'm curious to find out from you what it was like watching the game in person.
It was a bizarre experience, and, you know, I'm confined to the press box, so I don't necessarily hear everything that's going on outside. So I was shut out, you know, from the decibel levels, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
But Mike Tomlin talked about it after the game, or I think this afternoon as well, just about how you could hear more of what's going on the field. You could hear the trash talking. You could hear the communication out there. So they're able to pick up on things from the opponent, but by the same token, the opponent is able to pick up on some other things as well. So I think in games like that, where maybe the decibel level isn't as high as some other stadiums, I think the Steelers are going to have to do a job of using hand signals more, or, you know, figuring that out as they go along. I've heard that from more than one person, though, that it wasn't quite as loud as maybe some other games. So I'm not sure why that's not uniform across the NFL, but you're not the first person who brought that up to me today either.
Ray, what was your impression of Ben Roethlisberger's first real game action in basically almost a year?
I think the fact that zero interceptions, I think it was huge. And I think, you know, it's weird to talk about Ben Roethlisberger managing a game, but I think that's exactly what he did. And I think that with this defense, guys, I think it's a smart approach. I mean, there aren't going to be many teams out there in the NFL, even the more explosive teams, that are going to hang 30 on the Steelers. You know, maybe a very good offensive team like Baltimore might get 24, 27, maybe on a great day, 31. But most teams are going to be held to 16, 17 points. So as an offense, as a coordinator, you look at that and say, okay, I got to adjust accordingly. I got to do what's best to put this team in the best position to win. And I thought yesterday's game plan was really good in that regard. Cautious at the beginning, opened it up, and then did what you had to do to win the game. And, guys, I would not be disappointed at all if that was the same approach they had for a lot of opponents like the Giants. I know you're not going to be able to do that against the Ravens, the Chiefs. If you see them down the road, you're going to have to be able to score some with those teams. But I think you're going to see a lot of, like, low-scoring 7-10-point games with the Steelers this year, just because I think they realize the type of defense that they have and the type of offense that they can play to win those types of games.
Ray's Steelers report card from last night. His grades are online at the Post-Gazette's website. Check them out there. Ray Fittipaldo in New Jersey last night, where the Steelers beat the Giants. Thanks so much, Ray. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.